Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Come see your locally owned and operated Linton Glass for all your glass needs. No matter what glass you need to replace, you can count on Linton Glass. Call us today at 601-835-4336 or find us on the web at lintonglass.com.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi. Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your Radio Happy Hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app. We hope you have downloaded that. You can always find us on your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget, you can watch us too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. And in each April, there's always a week set aside for National Library Week. And today, during that week, it is National Library Workers Day to recognize their valuable contributions. And today we're going to bring awareness to all of the libraries we have in our great state and what they're up to and the good things they have going on all year, not just in April. Tracy Carr joins us. She's with the Mississippi Library Commission to tell us a little bit more. Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Rebecca. How are you?
I'm doing well. Happy National Library Week. I didn't realize it was the whole week when I talked to you earlier today. So you guys have the whole week to celebrate.
We have the whole week, and each day is a different focus, and today, like you said, is National Library Workers Day. So, very exciting stuff.
So, I always love the opportunity to highlight the library system here in Mississippi because I think they're unsung heroes, but also they are a wealth of information and activities for families that we just often forget about or we just simply don't know about. So, kind of explain how the library system set up here in Mississippi, if you know how many we got, or how does it work in terms of where they're all nestled?
Yeah, sure. The state has 53 systems, and there is public library service in every county. Now, in the case of Issaquena County, they partner with Sharkey County, so that is one system. So some of the library systems are single county systems, some are two county, and some are more than that, and we call those regionals. So everyone in the state should be able to reasonably get to a physical library location. And so there are about 235 branches. And I say about because sometimes one's closed, and I may not have that exact number off the top of my head. But among all of those systems, there is a collective almost 5 million print books.
Wow.
And now, while libraries aren't just books, they are about books. The state also has a interlibrary loan system, which just means that if you are in Carroll County and you want a book that someone has in Lamar County, well, then they can loan it to your library system. So really, Mississippians have 5 million books at their fingertips.
And is it still true, Tracy, like if you, as long as you live in that county, it's free or very minimum for you to get your library card and be and have, like, I guess, access to all of that?
Absolutely. It is mandated, actually, in statute that to be a public library, the service is free. And now that doesn't mean that some kind of special service or maybe there's a program with expensive materials you might have to give, you know, contribute towards. But to all you have to have is some kind of proof of residency to get a library card, and then that opens up the whole world to you. And then some systems allow people in neighboring counties to get a card there as well, so which is really convenient. So I work at a library. I have library cards at two different systems, and sometimes I still have to interlibrary loan something because, you know, there's just some book I want to read, and, you know, those three libraries can't do it. So it's just a wonderful resource to really expand that service to everybody.
You talked about events or special things that you may have to, you know, help contribute to. I don't think people realize, those that do realize, look at their libraries as godsends, particularly for like family events or things to do with their kids during the day. And then others, it's like they just don't know or realize all of the programming that goes on all year long at their local libraries. What, I know you don't know for all 200 and something, you can't tell me everything that they do, but kind of overarching, what are those things beyond just the books or bringing books and literature in a different way or education do our local libraries do throughout the year for their communities?
Yeah, libraries really serve, I mean, we love the books, obviously, but libraries serve as community centers. They're really the only place in a community where you can walk in the door for free, hang out as long as you want, and participate in your community. So yesterday with the eclipse, you know, we got a ton of eclipse classes that we gave to every public library, so they were able to have eclipse parties in their branches. Like you said, there's story time, you know, for little kids, but there's all these other programs for teens and adults and seniors, you know, knitting clubs. There's always a good book club, and I just heard about some variations on book clubs. So one library has a murder mystery book club where that's all they read, which I love. And then Lamar County has a cookbook club where they all sign up to make one of the recipes out of a set cookbook. And then they have their meeting and they all bring something to eat, which sounds like a lot of fun. A trend that we've seen on TikTok that the Starkville Public Library has is a silent book club, which I love it. It's kind of out there, but it makes total sense. It is a club where you bring some snacks and then you're just quiet and you're reading your own book. The end. That's the program.
But can I bring my kids? Make them part of that?
Exactly. It's just a great way to capture the introverts in your society, you know, that may not want to just sit around and talk about things with people they don't know. You know, you can still be a part of something and still have your individuality. But outside of book clubs, you know, there are gardening programs and writing workshops. Chair yoga is one that's really popular. And, of course, those computer classes. I mean, computer access is a huge part of what libraries do. There are over 2,500 public access computers in the state, and that means a computer that people in that community can walk in the door and use for free. Wi-Fi is also a huge thing that libraries provide to their communities. This was the fiscal year 22 stats. The 23 stats are still being worked on, but there were 2.7 million Wi-Fi sessions in public libraries. That's just an amazing service that libraries provide to their communities. So also in that computer world, senior computer classes are really popular, and Sunflower County Library now offers one-on-one assistance. So you call and make an appointment. So, you know, someone who just needs special help on one thing, like I need help with my resume, or I need help with learning Microsoft Word, or I don't know how to do email, you can make an appointment and get one-on-one assistance, which is such a great service.
Had no idea about that, Tracy, and I feel like we're all learning something new that could be happening at our local library. Does each library, all 200 and something of them, have their own website? So, like, if you're listening to Good Things, regardless of the county that you're in, can you go and seek out, like, what's happening at your library if some of these events or things sounded interesting?
Absolutely. All the libraries have a website, and most of them have Facebook. Facebook is just such an easy way to quickly update what's going on. And so if you're out there in the world and in the state and you're not familiar with your library, drop in or head to Facebook and find out what's happening at your library.
I think, too, you know, I'm kind of in that small children age, Tracy, but I'm glad you brought up those that are maybe retired or, you know, in our wiser years, that there's still all these opportunities to socialize and to also continue to learn or to just get out and be in community and fellowship. Too, I found, Tracy, some of those that are around here in central Mississippi, the library specifically, have phenomenal meeting spaces. And mm-hmm. I know a lot of small places, small organizations are have a hard time finding just the right spot for maybe their board meetings or, you know, sort of their things. We have found, at least as the dietitians, that our libraries are very gracious hosts and great spots, too, to sort of host those smaller meetings, too. So, you know, never forget about your local library. Tracy, it is all about National Library Workers Day. We didn't get to that. Can you hang with us? We can get to the actual workers coming up next here on Good Things.
Runner's Dev Show.
Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
Things streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app. Of course, you can always find us too on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And I hope today you're going to reach out and find your local library because it is National Library Week. And today we've got Tracy Carr with the Mississippi Library Commission on to talk about the fact that today within that week is National Library Workers Day, which you are. So I guess it's a happy National Libraries Workers Day. Tracy, I wouldn't say congratulations, but.
Yeah. I think just saying happy is the correct salutation.
So how many, I guess, library workers, do you know that by chance, that we have in Mississippi?
I do. I do know that. Librarians, you know, we know stuff. There are nearly 800 folks who work in public libraries in the state. So we've got a lot of folks, like all of those programs that I talked about in the first section, all those computer classes and story times, all of those could not happen without our library workers. Everyone who, you know, picks the books for story time or does the story time or mans the circ desk or gives recommendations for a book or catalogs the books or shelves the books. Like there are lots and lots of steps and lots of different skill sets that are necessary for, you know, for a library to function. So I am a librarian, obviously, and a library worker, but there's really something for every kind of personality in a library. If you're extroverted, if you're introverted, if you, you know, all kinds of skills.
You just have to love the love of books, but also the love of community, and I think connecting with people, because that's exactly why people come into the library. I mean, not everybody wants to connect and carry on conversation because they just want to read or sort of be, you know, I mean, introverts and extroverts have their place, but it's that connection to take a recommendation or to be friendly enough to be able to ask, like, hey, the Dewey Decimal System's beyond my level of education. Help me find, you know, what I'm looking for, or, yeah, and, you know, and sort of that kind of thing. So being personable is part of that too. I meant to ask the Mississippi Library Commission, are the schools librarians in that, like our county schools, or is that like a separate thing?
Yeah, that's a separate animal altogether. That is, the school libraries are under the purview of the Department of Education.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I don't have their numbers.
No. But I think but they're still library workers. And I feel like your librarians are kind of like those special teachers within your students, I guess, academic career. I know my daughter's always loved her librarian because they don't really give tests. So they can open them up to a world of books and introduce them to reading and sort of, but still educating and all that. So they play a very special role within children's education experience. At least that's been our experience up till the sixth grade, for sure. So how did you get into the world of being a librarian, Tracy? What led you down this path of making it a career for yourself?
Well, for me, my son is in high school, and sometimes when I'm helping him with a paper, and he's like, "How can you do this?" I'm like, "It's the only thing I can do. The only thing I can do is read, and write." So I started as an English major. That's a really common path for librarians. But what is really, really wonderful, I think, about library world in general is that there isn't a clear path. Like, well, a lot of people have, you know, English degrees. Most people kind of fall into libraries, and that was true of me as well. I didn't want to be a librarian when I was a child. But it is such a good fit for the right kind of person who is all about service. You know, it's a service industry. We're here to help. We don't do anything bad. We only help people. That's all we do. So whether that is help with information, you know, helping someone with their family tree, helping someone with a paper or a business proposal, or, you know, how to file their tax. I mean, we don't do taxes, but we provide. There's a lot of AARP does some volunteer work in public libraries to help people with their taxes. So we're just here to help, and if a library doesn't know the answer, we'll find someone who does. So, you know, you just have to have a love of service and information, and, you know, Rebecca, you could be a librarian.
I'm not quite enough. Absolutely not.
Now, libraries are not just quiet spaces anymore. You know, there are maker spaces where people are, you know, building things, and there's all kinds of noises that happen in the library now. And you know what? I haven't had to shush anyone in the last, like, 20 years of my career.
I love that. You would have to shush me at some point, I'm sure, but that's okay. That is also the calm and gentleness that can come out of the right librarian. But I also think every family who has young children should at least allow them the opportunity of having a library card and getting that experience. I know going in with my oldest, we're in Rankin County system, and seeing her get to go up and sort of give her name, and she gets the little card that's for kids, and then the thrill of I can choose whatever I want, and then, you know, obviously too, the responsibility of sort of bringing it back. So from y'all's perspective, how welcoming but also important is it that kiddos get their first library card?
Oh yeah, we love it when children come to get their cards in public libraries. I mean, what better way to instill that, like, no, this is a relationship you're going to have forever. You know, the library is here for you from birth to the very end. And like you were talking about, like, how exciting it is to get your first library card, and it has your name on it, and it's associated with you. I know that we have someone here who used to work at a public library, and she would tell the child, now, you can have two books, and you don't have to pay a fine, but if mommy loses her book, she has to pay. And they would love that. So a lot of libraries have a special kids card that has a different limits on it to kind of build that responsibility. You don't want to, you know, if an adult can check out 30 books, you don't want a child to check out 30 books also. That is too many for someone who is five to keep up with. But starting them with two and getting them used to that process and having it be a part of that routine, you know, we know that children love routines. I think adults love routines, too. But getting children into that routine of, like, you know, every other Saturday you go to the library, you pick out your two books, or, you know, there's DVDs, there's all kinds of things. And many libraries, and I think at this point it's safe to say most libraries, offer a whole suite of things electronically. So I was telling a young cousin, I was like, no, you only have to go to the library once, and then you get all of these e-books and e-audiobooks. You never have to go back. Just go in one time. And that's true. If e-audio and e-books, if that's your thing, find out if your public library offers e-books. Because, again, that is a wonderful way to really support your library. You know, we get the statistics that we use are based on usage. And so we really want people to use their libraries. That's actually very good for us. If someone comes in and then we never see them again and all they do is use ebooks, that's wonderful. Or if someone comes in every day and uses a computer, we like to help people.
One of the misconceptions, Tracy, I think, for libraries is that maybe it's a bunch of old books that are there to check out. Do y'all stay new and fresh with what's being published for those that like fiction particularly?
Absolutely. You know, here at the Library Commission, we help libraries with, you know, training and support. We offer advice. And we also help them with things that are difficult. And sometimes it's called weeding when you go through your collection and see what is crusty and dusty and needs to go. And there are, you know, there's a process for that. But yeah, that's a service that we provide. But I'll tell you, most libraries are on top of it because it's hard to justify when you pull out a cruddy book and you think, would I want to lay in bed and read this? And if the answer is no, it has to go. You know, sometimes a community will get very upset when there are books that are being weeded because they feel strongly that books are precious. And they are, but it's the information in the book, not necessarily the physical book. So we have to, there's only so much room on the shelf, and books are published every day. So if we want to keep nice, fresh ones in the library, sometimes we got to let things go. And that can be difficult, but it's necessary.
But it also keeps it fresh and for you to come back and enjoy your library again and again and see new things. So, Tracy, where do we go if we want to find out for the first time if there's a public library in our area?
Yeah, I think actually you could just Google library near me, and that would probably bring it up. But you could also go to the Library Commission's website at mlc.lib.ms.us, and we have a directory of Mississippi libraries. You could also call us up, tell us where you are, and we'll get you connected to your public library.
Well, I appreciate your time today, Tracy. Happy National Library Week, and to all the 800 people in Mississippi who work there as well, we celebrate you. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
All right, you guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Rebecca Turner. She looks healthy and sane. Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Things. Don't forget, we are always streaming live over at supertalk.fm. If you have taken time to download your Supertalk Mississippi app, then you can stream us anytime, anywhere. You can always find us, too, on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station, and you can watch us. We are on Supertalk TV on your computer or your mobile device. We are going to learn today about the Lily Pad there in Ridgeland, as well as the Leap for the Lily Pad 5K that's coming up this weekend. Joining us is one of the founders, Miss Kristen Lape. So, hey, girl.
Hey,
welcome back. I feel like folks listen to Good Things often, and and they've heard the name the Lily Pad before.
Right.
It's been a long time in the making there in Ridgeland. How many years have we been in progress?
We have been in progress about, I guess, six or so from the start of fundraising.
Like conception to, yeah, and to seeing the light at the end of the tunnel.
With 6 to 7 6 to 7 years.
It's crazy. Is it true what they say? It's like parenting, the days are long, but the years are short. Or
right,
has it all been long?
It's kind of all, it's been hit and miss. It's been long, but it's been short too. It's like, have we really done all of this?
Yes, you have. And you're almost there, just almost to the light at the end of the tunnel of seeing it to be a reality. But just in case, Kristen, someone's hearing the words, the lily pad, for the first time, when you're giving your elevator speech to try to explain to folks what ultimately it'll be when the doors open, what is that going to be?
Well, the lily pad will be a cafe. We're opening a restaurant that is going to train individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities in the restaurant and hospitality area, then our goal is to provide work skills, employable work skills they can gain and take elsewhere. So we want to be a revolving door, a stepping stone, or a lily pad where they can leap from our location and go find full employment elsewhere.
And as you can tell, that is a huge need within the community, but also a big undertaking. That's why it's taken several years. And you guys have done really well with raising funds, not putting the cart in front of the horse in terms of it, because you want it to be sound and good. And one of the biggest things y'all do each year is the Lily Pad 5K that comes up. What year are we in the race?
We are in year 12.
Wow.
And that is because we initially started out as a fundraiser for two other nonprofit organizations in our area, and it was about year six where we kind of had this idea to bring this to the area and have been raising funds since.
So would this be fair to say this is your biggest fundraiser of the year, or one of many that you guys have?
It is our biggest and our only fundraiser we do. We did do, in the midst of COVID, we did do a capital campaign when we found a location for the future home of the Lily Pad. But other than the capital campaign, this is our only fundraiser we do.
And it's growing each year. I feel like it is inching its way into being one of the largest 5Ks, at least here in the central area. I know folks come in. You guys have all these different ways that you can be involved, even if you don't want to run or even if you aren't necessarily in this area. So let's dive into that. Obviously, it's a 5K. So tell us what's kicking off this weekend.
So we try to push this as a community awareness event that kicks off with a 5K. It's an evening time run.
Which I've always appreciated.
You know, it's evening time where you can bring your family. We have a kids area that has face painting, jump zones, a toddler area. We also have a sensory tent. We have music. This year, our entertainment will be Todd Thompson and the Lucky Ham Band. We have food. We have 12 food vendors, as well as our drink vendor, which is Brown Bottling. So we have food. Part of your registration includes your food. So you want to run, you want to walk a 5K, you're welcome to do that. We have a fun run available. We also have our 0.0.
And if you're for everybody else who just wants to come and eat supper.
Right. So that is for the person who wants the swag bag, who wants the T-shirt, wants to enjoy the food and entertainment, but doesn't want to walk or run. You can sign up for the 0.0. And then we also have a food row option and virtual. You can't make it. We will mail your T-shirt to you if you can't make it and you want to still support. You can do the virtual option as well.
The food row, though, is legit. And so that's like, you know, so often we talk about events here on Good Things where you get your wristband, you get to try everything for, you know, just a small contribution. And it's the same way. Imagine all your great restaurants coming together.
Right.
And then you get to eat all of them in one night for dinner.
I mean,
how cool is that?
And we've been fortunate that the community and the restaurants that we partner with each year are just, you know, they're generous and they're, you know, donated their time and their food to help us out and provide a great family-friendly event for others to attend.
Where is this taking place, Kristen?
This will be in Ridgeland. We host our event on the green space in front of Methodist Rehab Ridgeland right off of Jackson Street. The 5K course, walk and run course, will start on Jackson Street, and it will go down towards Wheatley, right towards the railroad tracks in Old Town, now the railroad district in Ridgeland. And you will pass the lily pad.
I was missing the ask.
The 5K walkers and runners will pass the lily pad location on their route.
Which I think is it just adds that extra level of coolness to it, or special too.
When we were looking for locations for the future home, we had eyed that space, and we're like, this would be a great event space, and have the 5K incorporated to where we are.
And if folks have been on the fence about whether they're going to do it or not, don't let I was going to say here centrally, don't allow the weather to stop you. One, you can do it virtually, or you can do the 0.0, but two, it's supposed to be perfect this weekend.
Yes,
it's supposed to be going away.
The weather is moving out before our event, so we are still on, we are still a go, and we're excited to have people join us and see what we're about.
And y'all have got a big push for online registration before tomorrow, or tomorrow, by tomorrow.
Yes.
How's that work?
Tomorrow is the last day to register online, and to also, we have a lot of people who are big push, they try to push their teams, because we have awards for top family team, top business and corporate teams, and also top fundraisers. So if you want to get into those runnings, your registrations will only count through the online registration, so that will cut off as well for the teams tomorrow.
I know 6 or so years ago, Kristen, it was you and your husband and I think another couple that kind of came together to have this grand idea of the lily pad. And you probably thought you were crazy yourself, but it feels like the community just really said, wow, like, why hadn't we thought of this, and rallied around. Has it been, I guess, inspiring, but also nuts to see how many folks are getting behind to watch this cafe come together brick by brick, literally?
It's been very inspiring to see the community get behind us. And we only had an idea. We only had a vision, and that was based on a place we found in Texas, Hugs Cafe in McKinney, Texas. And we're now, how everything comes in full circle, they have developed and grown to where now we are an affiliate partner of Hugs Cafe, Inc., and we are bringing their training program. So they've been doing this. They have a training program, and we're now bringing their training program to Mississippi.
Why reinvent the wheel?
You know, to help, and, you know, just help more people.
And I guess that also shows proof of concept that it's work. If it can work in Texas, then it can work in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
And that these individuals, was given an opportunity to learn skills, they can work.
Right. Right. Yeah. There's, you know, people want to have jobs, but they may not be able to work 40 hours a week, but the places they want to work may not have the additional staff to provide that hands-on initial training they need. So we're going to be that missing piece where we can provide the, you know, initial skills, what they need, the foundation they need to go somewhere else. And then it's just reintroducing, changing. It's a change of menu. It's a change of, you know, facilities, but they have the basic understanding of what they need to know in the restaurants.
And when it's open, the lily pad, which I know you will be here with bells on when that when that day comes, there's a few more pieces before we can say go, and that's okay. But the light is at the end of the tunnel. You guys will be running breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
We will be only open for lunch. We will begin, if anybody's in the restaurant business, they know if you're open for breakfast, you are there.
Yeah,
very early.
I don't blame you.
Getting prepped. But we are, we're going to be open just for lunch. And that way we have the flexibility of training, but also we may be able to do pop-up, you know, specialty dinners featuring a different menu than our lunch menu. Just keeping it open and flexible in the beginning. So just lunch only.
And if folks want to get involved, obviously sign up for the Leap for Lily Pad 5K that's coming up this weekend. But there are so many other ways to donate and be a part of what you guys are doing at the Lily Pad in Ridgeland. How do we do that, Kristen?
You can, for our race, you can visit leapforthelilypad.com. But if you want to get involved as a volunteer, maybe you want to be a job coach when we open and volunteer, or make a donation, you can go to thelilypadms.com.
And don't forget, you don't have to run the 5K. You can get your 0.0, get all your swag, but right. you can also just come and
right. and support eat. And have a fun time.
And eat. I'll have to say, the times we have come, I've always been impressed with, you think like, oh, I'm just going to taste of something here or there. No, like it's a,
right.
you leave hungry. Oh, you don't leave hungry. You come right. hungry and you leave full, and definitely for a good cause. All right, Kristen, next time you come back, maybe the big.
Right. Might be the big push.
Maybe yeah, the big maybe. Opening. Okay. I know. I see, but we've watched you, man. It's just super exciting to see how we're just one, two steps closer to be able
there.
To celebrate
almost
it.
There.
Almost there. All right, you guys stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
Innovation. Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget, we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. I hope you've downloaded that app. You can stream us there anytime, anywhere. That's the Supertalk Mississippi app. You can also find us on your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. And don't forget, you can find us too on Supertalk TV on your computer or your mobile device. But over at supertalk.fm/Taylor Swift, you can find all the information for the Margaritaville Resort and Paradise Pier Fun and Park in Biloxi presenting Taylor Swift and a Cash Gift. Read what you get, which is a pair of tickets. Let me not tell you wrong, because we'll come running here. No! You get a pair of tickets, that's two tickets, for the Saturday, October 26th showing at the Superdome, plus $1,000. And you can find registration boxes across at many locations across the state. I'm going to get it right, or maybe not. And just head on over to supertalktv.com/Taylor Swift, and you can find the full registration locations and more information. Rhino, I blame it 1,000% on the weather. Welcome to Mississippi, where it just goes from, well, yesterday kind of set us up for a gloomy day today. Is the whole state kind of gloomy, or is it just us in the central area that's kind of a gloomy, doomy day?
We're actually getting it relatively nice today in central and south Mississippi, because it's north Mississippi, specifically the Delta, that's really getting hammered with rain today.
Oh, man.
And then tomorrow it flip-flops, and it'll be mainly south Mississippi that'll be getting the rain with some severe weather, so you might want to be weather aware tomorrow. But yeah, it's been a wet and windy week.
It's
so
hard
far.
To get motivated whenever it's like that. You just kind of want to stay inside with a good book, maybe from your local library or a good show, and chillax. But nope, the world goes on. That doesn't pay your bills.
Just another example of how we're completely opposite. I don't like sitting in the rain itself, like having getting rained on. But if I'm under a porch or an awning and I'm out of the rain, I like sitting outside.
Really?
In the rain.
I don't dislike that. It depends on the... It always depends on, like, the temperature of the weather.
Well, yeah, if it's like 110 in August
sideways.
And it's raining, so it's just this
steamy. But then the sideways rain, it's this thing you're battling with yourself, like, who's going to give in first and go in? Like, at what point are we going to say, okay, we've got to sort of move ourselves on into the house? But that's good napping weather. If you've got a good porch or awning, take it out there, watch TV, read a good book, whatever, just close your eyes. That's some good sleeping for sure. Speaking of library, did you ever get a library card?
Oh, yeah. I think I've still got it somewhere.
Yeah, I love that. And two, it is one of those first responsibility building things in your children, if you can like give that to them.
I don't know if it's universal, but I imagine it's close to universal, that if you can give a kid a card, an official piece of plastic with their name on it or their name attached to it, that's the coolest thing on the planet.
It really is. And they love it and they cherish it. And they do go in wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to, like, pick out their books. Thank God they don't let them get 30, because she was like, they don't need 30. I'm like, I don't want to sit there and wait for my undecisive child to pick out 30. Like, we would be there forever if you told her she could leave with 30 different things. It would never make it out. But they also would never make it back, because in our process of moving over the last year or so, we have not moved in the last year, but when we moved the past couple of years or whatever, I found several that had just never made its way back. And so we have this great photo for memories of sending her out, and I had made her get out of the car, walk in. She had to do it. It was her responsibility. And then this distinct moment, she turns around and looks at me and was like, are they going to take me to jail? And I was like, no, it's not been that late. Like, in her mind, you know, you were supposed to bring it back. She knew that they weren't going to fine her, because that was like part of the, you know, the signing up sort of process. And I get why, but I think a nickel, quarter, something would also not be a terrible thing. It teaches responsibility, obviously not $100 fine or anything crazy like that, but just, you know, but clearly mom also flubbed, forgot about them. So it had been a while. But
well, that's the other beautiful thing about the library, is that if you remember Blockbuster, it feels like they made the majority of their money on late fees.
Right.
So the mindset of late fees was like, no, drop what you're doing. The video store closes at 10. If it's not in that box before then, I got to pay extra. Versus, oh, my library book's 3 years overdue. I guess I owe a quarter.
Mm-hmm. I love, too, sometimes you'll find on weird headlines people who have had them for, like, decades and then finally return them and all the things. But if you've got library books that have been out, return them. There's your public service announcement today. Don't not return them for the sake of not returning them. I don't think anybody really does that, though. You just sort of simply forget.
Well, there very well could be someone sitting on that list going, I've been waiting on this book to show back up for 15 years.
Oh, gosh.
Somebody take it back.
Take their book back to them. Take their book back. But don't change that dial. Don't go back anywhere else. We got more for you up next. You got the boys with sports talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I will meet you back here tomorrow at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.